may be moving a little slow this morning because Vicki got me to move furniture yesterday. I'm not going to blame it on her, but I pulled my back just a little bit, okay? Anyway, but it's okay. It was really me doing it. It wasn't anything to do with her. But I wanted to pick on her this morning because she's sitting here and she's here this morning. Thank you, honey. You're used to it, I know. Being in the void, hell in the hallway. Ellen Devenport wrote this book. She's a Unity minister. She works at Unity Village, as a vice president at Unity Village. And the premise here is that that Jesus said many times, heaven is within you. So in a dualistic system that we live in, that could also mean hell is within me. Now, I'm not talking about sin or anything wrong. It's just a feeling or emotion that I have. And that's what she's talking about. And so what she's saying is that when we go into the void, into that place where we have recognized that we have to find a new beginning, but we've let go of the ending, it's there where we can feel, have lots of emotions and lots of feelings. They're a little different than ones you have in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, the emotions are more, let me give you this slide thing, I'm sorry, guys. This is Winnie the Pooh. I'll get that in a second. Okay. So anyway, life is a journey to be experienced, not a problem to be solved. And I want you to remember that as we talk about this void. And when we come out of the beginning, or the ending, excuse me, what happens is we have lots of emotions that we deal with. We have anger, we have judgment, especially if we're not dealing with it effectively. We have resentment, we can feel like a victim. I mean, we can go on and on with the emotions and feelings we have when we find ourselves coming to that ending. When you go into the void, you experience other types of emotions. You experience maybe a sense of being abandoned. You may have a sense of, what's going on here? I don't understand what's going on. Everything seems to be changing, and I don't know what the change is. I don't know how it's happening. I can't explain it. It's really frustrating. Because I'm in an unknown place when I'm in the void. And all of us experience this in some form or fashion. And when you look at being hell in the hell in the hallway, what happens is that you're in this hallway that's dark, and you don't even know how to look for light at first. You're just struggling to be alive as far as you're concerned, as you understand it. And so what we have to start to understand immediately is that this is part of a journey. It's part of transformation. It's part of the transition that we go through in our human condition and in our spiritual lives. And that if we turn to spirit, this becomes a journey, not hell in the hallway. And there are many ways in which we get into this hallway. For example, Ellen in her book talks about a young woman who was on her wedding day, and she was in Scotland, and it was in a big Scottish castle. I mean, it was a dream wedding. You couldn't ask for any more. People came from around the world to be there, and she was thinking how wonderful and how beautiful my mother looks, how beautiful my sister looks. And she said, the only problem is I'm not in love with him. But she said, you know, I'm here. We spent all this money. Everybody looks beautiful. I might as well go ahead and get married. I'm not going to call it off. And I know that marriage is an institution you stay in for the rest of your life. And I understand that, and I'm willing to do that. And so they get married. About 2 years later to 3 years later, she sits down with her husband and says, I have to have a discussion with you. And she said, I've got to tell you, and it may be hard, it's hard for me to say this, but the truth is, I don't love you, and I never have. And he said, thank God, I thought something was wrong with me. He said, I feel the same way. Let's just call this a mistake, and she got a divorce. And what happened was, once she came out of that situation, see, that was the beginning of her coming out of the void and starting a new beginning. And what happened for her was, first of all, she went to college, went back to college, finished her college, got her graduate degree, and then created a business of her own and was very successful at it. She dated a few guys, but she wasn't very interested in marriage at that time. And then one day she met a guy, and over time she knew that she was in love with him. She knew the difference, and they got married. And there was this new beginning again, a new beginning in her career, a new beginning in marriage, in a relationship. And it all worked out. But you see, what happened was that for that first 2 years, when she decided to marry this guy, even though she didn't love him, for that first 2 years, she was living, in a sense, in a hell in the hallway. They got along fine. There weren't those kind of issues. But what happened was she did not understand her emotions or feel her emotions and didn't understand how she could be in this situation not loving him. And when they talked together, he said the same thing. So sometimes what has to happen is we have to make a decision to make a change that can be very painful. An ending brings about a lot of soul searching. And it's normal. And it helps us. Because, see, a transition is a transformation. And you are transforming your thinking, transforming your understanding of yourself, and transforming into a higher level of spirituality. That's what's happening when we're in the void. And the void can last a couple of weeks, and it can last for several years. That depends on the circumstances, the degree of change that's taking place, and how you feel and how you see yourself. So there's not a time limit on it. Instead, there is this opportunity again to be in this journey and to remain in the journey until we do not have anywhere to go. So Ernest Hemingway said, it's good to have an end to journey toward. It's good to have an end to journey toward. But it is the journey that matters in the end. Isn't that the truth? So again, as we look at this idea of transition, we know that we come to an ending first, don't forget that, as it says up there. Then we go into this void. And in this void, again, is where we don't feel ourselves totally. We're not at comfort with where we are because we don't know what to expect. And although we talk about change and we embrace change, we really don't. We're scared to death of change because it's more comfortable to stay in a little bit of pain than take the chance of getting in more pain because you're going through change, isn't it? Yeah. So I like it here. You know? I mean, when I was in my mother's womb, and I don't remember that, I think I liked it there. And I probably didn't want to come out. That's what my mother told me. I really didn't want to come out. But anyway, so as we start to understand ourselves, we understand that there can be this discomfort, and it's okay. It's all right to be uncomfortable when you're in the void. It also is all right to be in the void because you are on a spiritual journey if you begin to ask Spirit to guide you through it. If you rely upon the ego or others, you won't get through it very well. But if you ask Spirit to guide you through, then what will happen is that you will find light in the hallway. You might just find a little bit at first, and then you find a whole lot, and then you find a door, and you walk through that door, and you're in the sunlight again, and you're ready for a new beginning. But let's look a little closer at what takes place when we are in this ending stage, as I said. And anyway, I said this already, but when we're in the ending stage, we are preoccupied with what once was but is no more. We struggle with numerous emotions, and I talked about that last week. When we're in the void, and let's look at that one. Here we go. There's the void. We move through a rites of passage. Now, there was a great book written a number of years ago, and the story about the book is called Rites of Passage. I've forgotten the author. And the story about the book is that most people who read it stopped at their age level. So if you were 35 years old, you would read Rites of Passage from the time of being a baby up through your teenage years, up through your 20s, and then when you got to be around 35, you stopped reading the book. And I thought it was weird. I couldn't believe it, but that's what I did. I was about 47 years old, and I read up to age 47. And so not long ago, I read up to age 83. And I said, wow, I'm supposed to be dead now. That was the last rites of passage. But here, what we're looking at is three things that happen during the void or during this rites of passage. One is that we feel separation. And nobody... Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you like separation, a sense of separation? All right. Well, we're 100% in agreement. Nobody does. And when we feel this sense of separation, again, what comes up inside of us is, where am I? What's going on? Why am I here? I wish I were not here. Where are my feelings and my emotions that I normally have? Because I am confused when I go into the void at first. And then the second thing is the transition that's going on. You see, our vision statement, I'll shorten it, transform lives, transforming the world. You are transformed lives, transforming the world. And what's happening is, as we go through a transition together or individually, or three or four people get together and have a study group and they go through a transition, what's happening is we are growing in spirit. We're allowing ourselves to evolve to a higher level of understanding of who we are and what we are. That we are spiritual beings. We are having a spiritual experience in the human condition. That we may think we're human beings, and we may act like human beings at times, all of us, but really we're not, I don't think. I think we're spiritual beings. And if we understand that and live to that, then we get the guidance we need, and we are moving through a transition rather than calling it a void or hell in the hallway. And then the third thing here is reincorporation. And what does that mean? And what that is that once we get through the void and start this new beginning, we're ready for the new beginning, we are reincorporating into our beingness all the positive things that we bring forth that are in us, and we're letting go of anything that might be considered negative. Does that make sense? We're just moving through this void, and now we're ready to make a new beginning. And there's a guy in the Bible who actually kind of identifies the process of this transition, and his name is Moses. Now, most of us have heard about Moses. I said one time in a service, everybody knows about Moses, and this probably 20-year-old raised his hand and said, I don't know who Moses is. So obviously he wasn't brought up in the church, certainly not in a Baptist church. But anyway, what happens is that Moses, I want to concentrate on two parts of his life. One is that when he left Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, which was, if you did that, it was a penalty of the law of death, or death. And when that happens, he ran away. You don't blame him. He took off. Moses actually knew that he was Jewish. He understood that. Pharaoh knew that he was Jewish. And he lived favorably in Pharaoh's light for about 40 years, they say. Now, 40 years only means as much time as it takes to go through whatever you're going through. Okay? So you could be in the void 40 years, we could say, metaphysically. That might only be 4 weeks. Whenever you're ready to move forward. So he left Egypt and he went out into the desert and he met Reuel, whose daughter he married, and I can't even pronounce her name. When he was out in the desert tending sheep, he saw a burning bush. Now, it's true that there are bushes in the desert that can catch on fire automatically. So it's not a far-fetched story. It may or may not be true. We don't know. But I think what is really symbolic of it, what's metaphysically important in it is that what Moses saw was a mirror of himself. I am that I am. He heard that voice coming to him. I am that I am. Now, when you say that, you can't say it about somebody else or some entity out there. You're saying it about yourself. I am that I am. And so Moses said, well, what do I say to Pharaoh? And the burning bush said, I am that I am. You have all the strength you need to go forward. As a matter of fact, Moses said, I stutter. God said, well, you got a brother who doesn't, supposedly. So his brother, and he went back into Egypt. They went through a bunch of plagues and things like that, convincing Pharaoh that he ought to let the Egyptians go. Finally, Pharaoh had enough, and the Egyptians were allowed to go. Now I want to come to the second part of Moses' story that I think is really important. That when we are going through a transition, when we're making a break, if you would, from a past, what has to happen is we have to be willing to step out. And when Moses took the children of Israel to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was coming after him, because Pharaoh said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I got to get these people back. And you know, so what happened was is that there was a wall of fire for a while, and the Egyptians were behind that and were being protected, but it was obvious the fire was going to go out at some point. And so Moses said, we're going to go over or through the Red Sea. But here's how he did it. He said, come with me. Step into the sea, and then it will part. He didn't say, hey, sea part, and then everybody could see it and walk away. Step into the sea. Step into the void. Step into your feelings and watch the waters part in your life. That's what we can do when we're in the void. That's what Moses did. And then they went through the wilderness, which is a big way of talking about the void, and it took them another 40 years or however long it took. But 40 years might be accurate because they had to go. What happened is, in order to move to the promised land, to have a new beginning, the tribe had to become a nation. They were a tribe. They were a group of slaves. And they had to think that they were free people and come together as a nation. And that took a lot of time. Because they got to the promised land once and they couldn't make the step. They couldn't take and be in the journey. They weren't ready. And you and I can come up to the promised land in our lives and find out that we're not quite ready. And so the questions are, what can I do to get through the void? And you, first of all, you can't force it. Let me say that. You cannot force it. You can live with it. Relax into it. And you'll learn from it. And here are some ways in which you can move through the void and give thoughts to it, okay? There are actually 9 of them, so I'm going it this way, okay? One is to embrace the now moment. Eckhart Tolle wrote about being in the now. It is to be in the now moment and embrace it, not run away from it. It is being in the now moment and not making any big decisions. And so, as you can see, no major decisions. And what we do sometimes when we go void, we make decisions that get us in deeper in the void, okay? Or deeper in trouble, I'd like to say, emotionally and physically. So we have to be able to embrace this thing called the void, embrace where we are, be where we are, live where we are, and don't make any major decisions, and then go with the flow. How many times have you heard that? Go with the flow. A lot, right? I'm sure. As it's not a minister in unity, doesn't talk about go with the flow, or probably in any other denomination. Because what happens is that we want to fight the flow. And there's nothing harder than swimming upstream. Nothing harder. So what we do is we relax and go with the flow and let the river move us forward and onward so that we can find our destination. The next three are go with the flow? No. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Pray and meditate. Now, a lot of people find, and there's a book out, and I don't remember the title. I just read it about the other day. I don't meditate. I find seven other ways to relax. And the person starts off by saying, I don't like meditation. I'm not comfortable in meditation. And I'm going to guess there are a few people here who feel that. That, you know, and sometimes it's because we think that in meditation we're supposed to have total silence, no thinking, that we are just kind of rolling around with spirit. And that's a wonderful thing to experience when it happens. But that's not normally the way meditation is. It's different for each person. And so don't expect anything from being in meditation, except that you relax your mind enough that at some point in the future, you get a new idea, you create a new way of thinking, and you see life differently. Meditation and prayer can do that for you. And so, as we go through this process of meditation, what we also know is that we learn to trust ourselves. So I say to you, trust yourself. You are a mighty, powerful, wonderful individual. You know that. There are 12 powers that you have, and probably more. You know, love, strength, understanding, zeal, forgiveness. Different kinds of powers that carry you through the void and carry you on and upward and give you that ability to stand strong and to use the strength that you have to find yourself once again. And then, after that, there is be aware, trust yourself, okay? To trust yourself. I just said that. Now, be aware of your dreams. So be aware of your dreams. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at myself because I'm kind of silly sometimes. But anyway, I'm not usually aware of my dreams. But when I have, on occasion, had the same dream over and over again, I pay attention to it. I look at it. And what I understand about the dream, and this is about all I understand about dreams, is that every person, character in the dream is me. See, one time I dreamed that I was in a Mustang, a yellow convertible Mustang. Pretty vivid, huh? Well, I had owned one, and this was years later. And then I dreamed that the Mustang crossed a railroad track after waiting for the train to go by, and when it crossed a railroad track, it found itself on a racetrack as a real Mustang. And then, and this dream took place about 2020, I think. And then what happened is I saw myself getting off of the horse and going up into a room that was filled with crystals. What was happening for me is I was confirming, without knowing it, that yes, I was supposed to go into ministry. And this would be the path, and this would be the way that I'd learn. But you see, I can identify the dream as me. The horse was me, the crystal room was me, the Mustang was me, convertible. I wish I had that thing. Anyway, that was all me. And so I could identify with that dream, and it gave me a message I could not ignore. And then what we look at next is to be aware of your dreams, but also here is to journal. Now, I do some journaling, but not a lot. Vicki does a lot of journaling. She's very good at it. But I can write down notes every once in a while, and I kind of think when I'm developing a message, I'm kind of looking at journaling. Process of journaling for me, because this afternoon when I get home and I relax, I'll start thinking about next week's message and what should I be talking about and how should I put it together, and I go through that process for about 5 days as part of that day. And sometimes I journal, I'll write down what I'm thinking about. So journaling is very important because it brings out your emotions, your feelings, and it lets you know kind of where you are in this now moment. And then a support system. This is, and support system comes in all kinds of ways. You may have a support system with a book study in the church. You may have a support system because you may be in recovery. for AA or NA. You may have a support system of a group of friends who get together and talk that you trust totally and you can share anything with. A support system could be a therapist. It could be a mother or a father. And so you need to find a support system, especially if you're having trouble getting through the void. Those are the things that we need to go through in order to go through this void and understand who and what we are. And when we do that, we learn to express our feelings in a positive way. Whoops. Is that a problem? Is that better? In a positive way. I'm sorry. Now we know what's happening, guys. This thing moves, and I'm not, you can't hear me. I apologize. And I've heard the message. I've gotten the message that I'm not loud enough sometimes. And let me tell you, that's a hard for me to understand because I am so loud to me that, you know, how can nobody hear me? But what's happening is my mic and myself are not getting along real well. So thank you for understanding that, and thank you for telling people, and you're welcome to tell me also when that's happening. So we have this understanding that what we can do now is that we can express our feelings in a positive way. Don't express your feelings by taking it out on your spouse or your significant other. Don't express your feelings by taking it out on your children. Express your feelings by being open and gentle with yourself and with others. That's when it's healthy. That's when it really works. And I've struggled with that, I gotta tell you. That's a job for me sometimes. And I've gotten pretty good at it, but I'm not perfect. And so I have to be very careful of becoming defensive, which means that I'm not sharing my feelings in a positive way. And I've only spent probably 60 years working on that. At least I'm aware when I'm there most of the time, so I can change immediately. But anyway, we need to understand that we can express our feelings. So when we do this, what happens is this journey that we're going through, we start to become ourselves again at a higher level. You're not just going somewhere and you don't know where you are. What happens, you find that light in the hallway and you come to this new beginning. And you come into the new beginning at a much higher level than when you started. You come into the new beginning ready to be flexible, ready to be creative, ready to be a person who is a catalyst for change. You come into this message ready to do the work that you've been called to do. And all of us here are called to do work in our lives in many, many ways. So don't be afraid of the void. Don't be afraid of the void, because what it's going to do is prepare you for a new beginning. Thank you. And now, I like her. Thank you. Amen and amen. Okay, let us now take a moment. And if you find yourself, as you look within, of being in the void in any part of your life, open yourself up to that. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. And take a few moments now. Take your time to be with your thoughts that emanate from your heart. To say, the Christ within me moves me through whatever I need to be through, in through, in order to heal, in order to grow, and in order to embrace a new beginning. Let's just be in the silence. are now gently come back to this place, to this space, and know all as well. Amen.